Does anything work tonight?
Hey.
Anything? I mean, does anything work at this place?
Are we live already?
Yeah, we're live already.
Okay, folks. Hey, this is Lou Angel Wolf. This is IMHO.love. Boy, that looks like crap. hi, everybody. We're having a little technical difficulties this evening, but we're getting on it. So, sorry to keep you waiting. Hi, everybody. Hi, Johnny. Hey, John Goldfarb. This guy I haven't seen since high school.
Nice.
We just reconnected on Facebook. Really nice guy.
How's that?
It was always sweet. Nice. You tell me, does it look good?
Down a little bit.
Looks like we got a lot of, looks like we got a lot of wall, not a whole lot of people. There you go. It's all about the people.
There we go. That's perfect.
Okay. Thank you, Pete. Well, hi, Facebook. We're going to be, let's see, get you down here.
Okay.
There you go. And we were working on doing the big camera feed, but nah, not yet. So, we're going to do it right off my phone, and we're going to crank it up here in just a second as soon as Pete gets situated over there, wherever he went. Where'd he go?
I think he's been abducted.
Well,
strong chance.
Oh, there he is. He's... Here we go. All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to IMHO.love. I'm Lou Angel Wolf. Over here, my co-host, Michael Merberg.
Good to be back.
Good to see you, brother.
Hey, you're all dressed up for, like, Santa Claus.
I got my Ontonagon Upper Peninsula Michigan sweatshirt on.
Yeah, you know you had your butt frozen up when you got one of them.
Yeah, you know, I keep the Ontonagon daily temperature in the corner of my computer, and it's like 21, 19, you know, for my buddy Dale.
It's like, is that like second base for the Indians of the Northern Peninsula?
It really is. It really is. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's November 28th, 2018. The year is just dwindling down, and... we're really, really, Florida is actually having a bit of a cool spell. It's going to be in the upper 40s tonight.
Yeah, finally, and maybe I'll stop wearing shorts when it hits 30.
And yeah, Mike's one of those big guys that always wears shorts. Like,
I used to ski in shorts. It was comical, unless it's really cold.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the show is a lot of fun. It's about... IMHO is in my humble opinion dot love, and it's about CE5, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, some ha-ha, because we're comedians, and some aha, because sometimes we might tell you something you don't know. So welcome to the show. We're on the Tan Talk Network. We got a couple of call-ins coming in, but we have a special guest I've been promoting all week on the Facebook page. Really interesting guy. We met a couple of months ago, and I go, that guy's cool. And he's got a really cool girlfriend. She's here, too. And we start talking, and we're going to the CE5s together. And then we really start talking, and I said, hey, send me a little bio. And send me a little bio. So now we have Derek Reichert on the show.
Good evening. Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Buddy, it's good to see you, man. And you have such an interesting story. To tell people, and we'll get to it. And I know you're an experiencer and an abductee from your youth.
Yes, I was 5 years old when I was more of an orientation than an abduction, but certainly yes.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a little while. Like I said, we do have, Celia?
Yeah, Celia Hatch. Waiting to call in and give us a report on the Zen Awakening Festival from last week. So I just got a note from her here, and no internet feed at this point. So
she has none, or we have none.
Yeah, not finding any live feeds for the internet. I'm just going to tell her to call in.
Yeah, just have her call in. And the number here for everybody else while we're at it, 727-441-3000. That's 727-441-3000. You have to find it on Lou Angel Wolf. If you're looking for it on Facebook, go to Facebook, Lou Angel Wolf. There I am. You're probably already my friend. I have 5,000 of you out there.
Yikes.
And then there's also YouTube. We're broadcasting, and that's the TAN talk signal, right, Pete? Okay.
Affirmed, yes.
That was a yes.
What are you, running for office?
TANTalkNetwork.com, and that's on the YouTube. So, and we also have one more outlet. IRN Broadcast. IRNBroadcast.com logs the show. And I don't know if he has a video feed, but he at least has an audio feed. So there's a lot of ways you can listen to the IMHO show. Who we got there, Petey? All right. Celia Hatch, welcome to the IMHO.love show. How are you? Oh, there you go. Well, there, if you seek, you will find. And there we are. Celia, I have not had the pleasure of speaking with you as much as Michael has. He said you were quite the big hit out there at the Zen Fest. Is that what it's called, the Zen Fest? Okay. Yes. Okay, and what is it that you were intending on doing? Okay.
Yeah, well, cool. My dimension, my generation is lost. You're still struggling with the three-dimensional reality and materialism. But Celia, you are the author of a CE5 handbook, and I believe people can find it there at ACE5handbook.com. And matter of fact, I heard you sold out at the festival, so congratulations.
Wait. Oh, yes. That is fabulous, Celia. And let's run the title of that book by one more time.
It's, Celia, give us the title once again.
Okay. And where can you get that? Well, that makes sense. Very good. Well, you know, Michael and I were talking a couple of weeks ago about the young people getting introduced to this at an earlier age. And the thing that we talk about often on the show is this is your earliest and I believe, you know, one of your most sincere steps towards exoconsciousness. And I think that the young people are really going to adapt to this because everything, you know, they're the generation of people that are coming to Earth right now are a lot different than we are. They're not going to get caught up in a lot of the, worldliness that we did, the materialism and those kind of things. And I think you're going to get some people hit the ground here at a young age that are really looking for that exoconsciousness, looking for that exterior truth, and looking to the skies for it. And it's a really beautiful thing that you've done, creating this handbook to help people harness this energy or expand this energy, depends on how you want to look at it. And my hat's off to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I have to comment on that too. Rosemary and I bought her kids the books, and she let the cat out of the bag. One is Justin's 12, and Mary Rose is 15. And when they heard they were going to get your book, they're more thrilled about it than any other Christmas present that they are going to get. So you talk about the younger generation. We got 12 and 15 that just want to jump on board and learn how to do this, and you know they're still young enough to. You know, they're past the point of believing in Santa Claus, but they're still young enough to understand that their heart connection is their connection with all consciousness, and almost all consciousness is non-local. So that's where the heart chakra is what connects us, and they get it already, and they're 12 and 15.
That's beautiful. And, you know, what a gift. I mean, that's a gift that just keeps on giving. I mean, how do you know, what's a PlayStation after that, you know? well, Celia, now, did you have a CE, and where is your CE5 group? Oh, boy, okay. Minus 10?
That's a thing.
Yeah, and you and who else is out there at minus 10?
That's when I put on my long pants.
Mervin puts on socks at minus 10. But
go wool.
So Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And the skies have just got to be magnificent up there. I've just seen glimpses of them in northern Michigan. Yes, they're really tremendous.
Yeah, I've seen them in Ontario, and you know, my dad was born in 1907. And he remembers when the Northern Lights would go as far south as just north of New York City. So, what we've managed to do to the planet is cause the Northern Lights, a natural phenomenon, to retreat, and that's, you know, those aren't the only ones. But,
really?
Yeah,
We humans move the Northern Lights?
Yeah, with number one, you have ground clutter and light clutter from the ground. You also have electromagnetic issues. The entire toric electronic fields of the Earth have changed over time drastically with civilization and development. We've, since 1920, we've pretty much kind of tripled the number of people on the planet or greater than that.
Yeah, there's a bunch more of us.
And China itself has taken itself from where, 95% of the people 40 years ago were living on less than $2 a day to only 1% of the population is now. So there's a price that comes with that sort of modernization. And the Northern Lights are one of the environmental costs that we've managed to have to pay and wish we could get back.
Well, you know, I had no idea, but now, I mean, it's completely reasonable, the reasons that you gave.
Sure.
there's your aha moment. I mean, you used to be able to see the Northern Lights in upstate New York, but no more. But, in this realm of thought, with the CE5, and for those of you listening in for the first time, CE5 is Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is human-initiated extraterrestrial contact through prayer and meditation. And we have a CE5 group here in Central Florida, we have a monthly meeting that the whole world kind of agrees upon that this is the day we're all going to go out for sightings. It's usually a moonless night, we've had some incredible experiences and visions and sightings here in Central Florida, and they just seem to be, and the whole CE5 movement is really expanding across the globe. We have 20 different foreign countries that are listening to the show and doing CE5s of their own.
Yeah, we don't have China yet, and I don't know about Russia. Hopefully they'll catch on. But the growth of this movement has been astronomical. We 18, 19 months ago, Rose Bellissimo and I began the CE5 group. Actually, I officially started with one. I think you were the second or third.
I was the second person. Yeah.
Second person in the group. So since March of 2016, we've gone from two people, and there's 88 people that are active members in our group now.
Hmm.
So that, if that was a stock, we'd be like, I hate to say Facebook or something like that, or Apple. But those numbers are astronomical, and when you think about how it's catching on, worldwide, where people can once again be instead of conspiracy theorists, they can be factualists, and dispel all these pejorative terms and rumors that the present world order does not want us to learn or know about, and create a collective of intelligent, informed human beings. That are connected through love, patience, kindness, and compassion, and want a new world order based on it and not upon the old world order based on force and control, fossil fuels. And that's what CE5 offers, is the ability to make contact with extraterrestrials, celestial beings, whatever you want to call them, these higher order intelligent creatures that are here to help us. Not to hurt us. Don't pay attention to the Hollywood movies. This is not a Hollywood story. This is reality. They're here to make contact and to love and take care of us.
And they've been here protecting us for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. But I think we have finally reached our terminus idiot point of our human experience. And, we theoretically have enough weapons to completely wipe out the planet. And, of course, this is what all the heavy-handed governments control the populace with as the ultimate end game if you don't behave. But I feel this in my heart. And if I'm wrong, whatever. But I don't think that our extraterrestrial friends are going to let that happen. For one, this is either like this lovely pet planet that all these ETs love and they just go, oh, look what's going on down on Earth, like that. Or we're the Alabama of the universe. One of the two.
Roll up your windows.
So, but Celia, how many groups do you guys have up there in Canada?
We have actually more than that. I think there are upwards of 70 groups now that I'm in touch with that I published this show on throughout the world. I think 6 weeks ago we were at 20, and it's up to 70 or 80.
Wow, man, it's crazy. Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, Celia, thank you so much. And one more time, your book is ACE5 Handbook, and you can buy that at ACE5Handbook.com. So if you don't have a CE5 group in your area, yes, you can start one. And I would start with this handbook because it's a pretty exhaustive tool because there's a lot of stuff to know, and you want to approach this in the right way.
And for collectors out there, this is the first of its kind and a very gigantic human movement that will end in contact and the development of a higher civilization. So yeah, thank you so much for writing that book. It's such an important book, and I want people to know about it and to buy as many as they can. Give it out to as many people as possible. It's before Christmas now. Buy it, and everybody has a birthday coming up next year, so buy it for birthdays too for everybody who's out there listening.
Yeah, it is something, it really is a life-changing gift. So, well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to go to break right now. Thank you so much, Celia Hatch. That one more time, that's you're very welcome. ACE5handbook.com. Pick it up, get many of them, get an embarrassing amount. And then you can help hand them out to your friends. And we're going to come back after the break. We've got Derek Reichardt, and we're going to go a little long tonight because we were a little late getting started. Pete forgot to rev up the turtle that runs on the belt wheel that moves the machine, and the turtle was just we had to wake him up, but now he's wide awake and everything's rolling.
Yeah, that in the pterodactyl and behind the computer were doing lewds together.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to IMHO.love. I'm Lou Angel Wolf, Michael Berber.
Easy for you to say.
And Derek Reichardt. We'll be back in just a little bit. And thank you so much for listening. You got T minus 4 minutes and 40 seconds and counting. See what you can do. That goes off every second for one whole minute.
Really? All right.
I don't really know why.
That's just what it's going to do. All right.
It's the thing that it does.
Hey, do your thing.
Well, it's
not responding.
What is the issue, Pete?
That's what I don't know. I don't know if it could be the capture card, it could be the wire, it could be the connection. I don't know.
That connection in your camera has been giving you fits for a long time.
For a long time, yeah.
Yeah, there was the female end.
Yeah. Well, no, it was the sound. We changed the sound out. Now we may have to change this wire out because it's not working. It works sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't.
That's not a good feature in a wire.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not a good feature in a wire at all. Damn, son, we're still on the air.
We're still on. Oh.
We are still on.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everybody. Sorry about that. Get a little behind the scenes there. Hi, Facebook. Thanks for listening. My phone's way over there, or I'd be saying hi to everybody, but I can't because my phone's way over there. And we'll be back in just a few minutes.
We didn't bring our puppets this week, so
no puppets.
Screwed.
We got time. We gotta bring the puppets.
Yeah, it's not connected. All right. I'm done with this. Yeah.
Okay.
Facebook Live and.
Oh, we do what we can do.
That's
you know?
It. So it needs to all be replaced.
Oops, I'm sorry. That's
okay. Well, we'll have you back, Derek, when we got everything set up.
That's cool.
Make a nice professional piece out of it.
I like it.
Yeah. So.
Whenever you need, I'd be glad to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get you going here. We're going to dig in. We come back at 8:06, and then we'll just spend the next half hour with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I can post for a couple of days. I'm in like a Facebook zombie existence. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I made the mistake. If there was a couple articles came up on, well, number one, the U.S. foreign policy abandoning the Golan Heights to Israel as well.
I saw that. They Zuckerberged you?
Yeah, and then, yeah, they Zuckerberged me.
Yeah.
And then I ended up like, going up and you know and defending, that's strange. I end up writing something that defends Mark Zuckerberg on Facebook, and I get Facebooked. I get Zuckerberg.
You got Zucker punched
exactly for defending the guy.
Yikes!
Wow.
Yeah, and I have never defended him before. It was like, yeah, let's talk about subtle ways of screwing you. You know, just don't know which. It's like. It's like fighting in Syria. You just don't know who's gonna, which side's gonna kill you.
Oh man.
Or Yemen.
Well,
yeah, there's other places.
Facebook Live. If we ever get bumped off of Facebook, just know there's a permanent record of these shows on BitChute.
That's not BitChute. BitChute. That's a BitChute.
Or BitChute. Which would be a grouchy woman's SUV.
In Australia.
It's your ute. So there's always going to, and it's a blockchain website where there's no platform, there's no, we don't like that. There's none of that.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's there. Yeah, win, lose, or draw.
It's part of your permanent record.
It's okay. Part of our permanent
it's the
record.
The Akashic record.
Yeah, so there's always going to be okay. Something on BitChute. So, and we, you know, this thing gets published all over the place. Somebody got in touch with me from Nebraska. You know, you just don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or someone's diamond in the rough. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we'll see what happens with all this stuff. Maybe it'll get really exciting.
I think it will.
Well, we should get really excited.
I can start chumming the waters.
Yeah, man. Anything you want to link?
It. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, my learning ground.
Well, it's, you know, this format is, it's only a limited time that this is even going to be available, where you can do a radio signal, a computer signal, mass media signal. They're going to start dividing and building walls between each other so you don't have this spectrum of availability. I think they will. Anyway,
yeah.
Because they, you know, the whole world wants to monetize everything. Here we go. All right, Facebook, thank you. Thanks for waiting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to IMHO.love. In my humble opinion, .love. Because that's what all this information is anymore. It's all just an opinion. Journalism is dead for the most part. I don't think there's a journalist out there that could lay an even field.
Here or in Europe, you know, one of the aha moments. There's some articles came out this week that operations in Europe were exposed as to the CIA writing, writing for the journalists over there, telling them what to publish, pretty much what's been going on over here for years and years and years, but, you know, people are unaware of it.
They're just now getting to it.
Google Operation Mockingbird.
Or there's a new one. There, one of the
Google Bird.
There's how many here have heard of the Phoenix program?
I haven't.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a, it's not a new one. There was a book that came out by Douglas Valentine a number of years ago that actually was, it was so good, Maury Safer went on 60 Minutes to discredit it. So you have to kind of wonder,
whoa,
Maury, wait a minute. This got too close to the heart. But
what was it about?
What Douglas Valentine did was he wrote this wonderful book about the CIA's attempt to destroy the Viet Cong through torture and summary executions and other programs that involved police, state officials, that has become essentially the template for what's going on in the United States today. They use it in Vietnam so successfully, they've kind of just culled it back a little bit and then applied it, you know, as part of our own interior war on terror.
Jeez. You know, they invented this war on terror. They should finish it.
Perpetual fear. It's not going to help.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going out this week. That one article that you shared with me today about how many people are, air quotes, believing in conspiracy theory type things. It's like we're no longer the tinfoil hat weirdos. And we've lost faith in our journalists, just because everybody has to throw an opinion on it. Who's that guy, the Acosta,
the guy they threw out of the White House.
Yeah, well, he's back, and he's the White House correspondent or something. He's got like a government job.
Yeah.
But he's just as an opinionated of a pundit as anybody else. But he's actually on the government payroll, and I really don't think there's a guy with a bigger voodoo doll for Trump. You know, I mean, he's just poking that thing full of wires.
Well, that was the interesting thing, and that was actually a British study that found that conspiracy theorists. That's a pejorative term. That's why I like to use conspiracy factualists now, tend to be more intelligent and better educated. And they've also find that in voting blocks, too, that you will behave and act in a certain way and vote party line pretty much. And I'm nonpartisan, but this is what the research shows, that you will vote pretty much party line with the Democrats and have less knowledge factually than your Republican counterpart will.
Wow.
And I'm a registered Democrat, so okay. You know, for those who are just now basically pooping in their pants to find that out. Yes, Mike is a registered Democrat. You know, it has been for years.
Okay, well, I'm a registered I'm an independent. Yeah.
Well, I only went Democrat because they needed a party pooper, so I figured, yeah, why not? Let's show on up and kind of, you know, mix it up a little bit here, you know?
Okay.
Everybody needs a second opinion.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a special guest in the studio with us tonight. His name is Derek Reichardt, and a very, very interesting guy. And you are the son of an experiencer.
Yes, I am. My father was an experiencer.
So this has been something that's kind of normal in your life, all your life.
Yeah, it puts the normal in paranormal.
And your parent and para.
Nice.
And like I said on the teaser in the beginning of the show, you had an experience at a very, very young age. Can you, you were six?
I was about 5 or 6 years old before school age.
Share what happened there.
Sure, I can share what happened there. I was a young child.
Where are we geographically?
We're in San Bernardino, California.
Okay.
It's a suburb of Los Angeles, maybe about a 45-minute drive east of there.
Verdu,
yes. Lovely, I grew up there. I love my home.
Home of the Hell's Angels.
Home of the Hell's Angels, yes. Absolutely. I was a young boy. My father was a firefighter, and he was away at the station that night. And this is middle of the night after Mom had put my brother and I to bed.
Okay.
We shared a bedroom, and I, you know, was an older kid. I chose the top bunk. In the middle of the night, something compelled me to go to the front window of the house. And this is something I had never done as a kid. I, you know, kids sleep through the night, don't even get up to go to the bathroom. But for some reason, I got this sense that I had to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go through the house, an older Spanish-style mission house in middle of Southern California, and look out the front window, you know, pulling the blinds open like little kids do to peek out.
Sure.
And going from south to north, about a block away, were three ovoid-shaped golden craft. That was all that I could describe them as, and it was captivating and mesmerizing for me. And almost no sooner had I kind of cracked those blinds to look at them, they immediately changed course to come over the house where I was. And it wasn't that they saw me looking and decided to come over. I knew that they were there for me. And this was the feeling I had inside. But of course, seeing this, I sprinted back through the house and climbed sure. back in the bunk and got back in bed and pulled the covers over, you know, like you do when the monsters come. And I'm laying there, and it wasn't even more than a couple minutes later that there was a light outside my bedroom window, and the light was spilling.
Were you scared?
This was new for me, and yeah, I was what you'd call scared at the time, or and seeing
freaking
something,
out a
yeah,
little bit.
It's you know, just kind of frozen there.
I would
know?
Say.
And seeing it happen, well, the next thing that happens, it wasn't like in a Star Trek movie or people floating, beings materialized outside the bedroom window looking in, about five of them. And they weren't moving, they were just standing there looking. And like you snapped your fingers, and they were inside the room, inside the bedroom, one, two, three, four, five of them.
Looking at you.
Looking at me.
In your bed, frozen.
In my bed, frozen, not speaking, not moving.
And you're six.
I'm about 5 or 6 years old. Yeah. And I do remember trying to vocalize, to scream, to call out for my mom, and nothing would come out. At the same time, having this like terror go through, but looking at them, I realized that they weren't there to hurt me. They weren't coming towards me. They weren't gesturing at me.
Right.
They weren't even speaking. But I seemed to get a sense from them that it was okay, that I wasn't going to be harmed, but it's still, you know, quite intimidating. I guess I could describe them, too. They seemed to
be... How tall were they?
They were, like, child size. I'd say around 4 feet tall.
Okay.
They had thin bodies, and they were wearing what looked like tight uniforms, and they didn't quite look like the classic gray alien you see all over the, you know, all over TV
shows.
They
were more modern, stylish.
They were more modern, stylish. They were quite similar to like the Close Encounters movie. Still a tall, you know, skinny, or I'm sorry, a thin, skinny body, and a, you know, compared to a human, oversized cranium. But with dark eyes, I couldn't see any pupils or iris or anything. It was just dark eyes. And like you snapped your fingers when they came in the room, another snap of the fingers happened, and I was outside in the backyard with them. And I remember I was facing to the east. There's this apple tree my dad planted in the backyard. And I was right there with the beings around me, and they introduced me to a human-looking entity who was a tall, kind of big guy, a broad-shouldered guy.
A Nordic?
We'll get to that later. We'll get to who it was later. Okay. It gets pretty interesting. He grabbed me by the shoulders and told me, everything's going to be okay. This is a part of your life and will be part of your life. And something about, you know, there being a journey ahead of me where this was going to be some kind of theme to it.
It's pretty heavy for a six-year-old.
It was, but the man was very loving and kind and seemed compassionate. He, you know, took me by the shoulders. He, you know, that was it. Nothing, you know, there was no probing, no cold metal devices, no anything like that.
That's the amazing thing. Every time I mention the CE5, I'm telling you, and I've made note, within three sentences, somebody goes to the probing. Somebody has to bring up the probing.
Yeah, this is a preemptive.
The big curiosity about the probing.
Yeah, well, you got to kind of dispel that first, and then you got to dispel the fact that there was no DeLorean that this guy was driving in.
So, okay, so you're outside, and now do you remember walking downstairs, or you were just like teleported?
No, it was a teleportation or something like that.
But you remember physically being outside.
Physically being outside. Feeling it on my feet, smelling it in the air.
By the apple tree.
I could stand there right now in my mind and know exactly where I was.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So now the five grays and the theoretical Nordic you're out there and you're getting instruction. They're squaring your shoulders up and going, everything's gonna be all right.
This person's telling me that everything's going to be okay.
Okay.
There's a light beam that happens, and I have, from my own CE5 experiences now, kind of relate what happened to it being a download at a young age, because I believe that the light carries information, and it's just a wavelength like anything else.
Sure.
And this has happened a few times since then, and I wouldn't have recognized it as a kid, but that's truly what I believed happened. Like, you snapped your fingers again, I'm back in the bed where they took me from.
Mm-hmm.
There were five of them standing in the room. They slowly dissipated, and the light from outside just kind of went away into nothing. Fade to black, and the scene is over for a number of years.
And there you are, 6 years old or so. You just had this incredible adventure, and you're laying in your bed. Probably, you had to be scared. You had to be flipped out anyway.
It was incredible. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just not stop there. Don't agree with that everything. That's a multiple question. Were you afraid?
At the very outset, when I had first seen them outside the window and I sprinted to my bedroom, that's when I was afraid. When they appeared and when they were in the room, I would not say that fear was a part of it. For some reason, I felt that they were there for a reason, and they weren't there to harm me. I somehow knew this.
And after that, was fear ever part of anything you experienced with this?
Fear has never been a part of any experience. No.
There you go. See, it helps having an attorney around this.
It sure does. It sure does. So, okay, and now, did you have school the next day?
I don't remember that part of it.
Okay.
This was, I was young, and this was just where the highlighter threw up all over the page is this,
okay,
this event.
Okay.
So did you tell
your friends about it?
I did tell a few friends, and a lot of them just seemed to think I was making things up or had an active imagination, and
sure,
that kind of,
thought
had
you stayed
me
up and watched Star Trek
on.
Or something.
Did you talk to your dad about it?
I talked to my dad about it, but years later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we started talking more about his experiences that happened when he was young, about 5 or 6 years old. Again, when I was a baby, and again about 10 years ago, he's had sightings and experiences. So actually coming to the CE5 group has kind of reopened that communication with my dad.
Cool.
Along these lines.
Oh, look at that. What a blessing.
Yeah, it's been nice.
That's nice. And where's he at?
He's still in San Bernardino.
He could start a CE5 group up there.
I think he, I don't know.
ACE5handbook.com.
There's a CE5 group in Los Angeles and in Southern California, so they're just find them on Facebook. They're there. Casey wants to join. I'm sure they'll just.
Sure. It is close to beautiful places out there. That high and low deserts are out there. There's beautiful, clear skies out there. It's nice.
Now, Michael, you've been out to Joshua Tree.
Yes.
With that intention.
Saw the mothership at Joshua Tree last year, that's for sure.
Well, I could tell you who the man was in that abduction, too.
Who was it?
So, on the 26th of December in 2017, I had my second.
That's like a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago. After I had started doing CE5 on my own, and I hadn't met, Mike or the CE5 group yet. I'd gone through Spiritual Awakening earlier in the year, in September,
mm-hmm,
of 2017, that really opened my eyes up to a much bigger world. And this was time for me to return the phone call that I got when I was a young boy. And I started practicing mindfulness, started practicing meditation, started reading books by Russell Targ and looking at people like Lynn Buchanan who do remote viewing, and realizing that consciousness was the key to so many things, not just extraterrestrial contact, but the way we're all connected on a spiritual level. And it's mm-hmm. been amazing. But CE5 was a part of that. And I was practicing, meditating, eating clean. And this is right in downtown Tampa where I was living. I was practicing CE5 and went outside my apartment with my little laser pointer, like, you know, the Dr. Greer approved laser pointer. It didn't take more than just 5 minutes of flashing that in the sky for a craft to appear, a golden craft with scintillating lights on it. And I thought, okay.
Oh, I've seen this before.
I've been an Air Force officer. I know what all kinds of planes and UFOs, you know, there's a difference here. This wasn't a helicopter. This wasn't anything I'd seen before. And just to make sure that the universe knew I wasn't crazy, my neighbor walks out, who, you know, I haven't talked to a whole lot. And he walks up and says, "What are you looking at, an owl? What do you see in the trees?" I said, "You're not going to believe this." And I was thinking, okay, it's going to disappear. Not going to see it. And I think I'm like a weirdo. Sure enough, he sees it too. It was his time to see something, like, I guess. And he looks up and says, "What is that?" And I said, "Well, you tell me. What do you want it to be?" kind of thing. But, you know, it was obvious to him what it was too.
Well, so this is a ovoid golden orb.
Right.
Okay. How big do you think it was?
In the sky, just by looking at it, how far away it was, I would guess it was more than 100 feet wide. It was
100 feet wide.
It was a larger craft, quite far away, but certainly there, through a hole in the trees that I was pointing this through. I mean, there was no mistake that it was there mm-hmm. for me and that I had dialed the number.
And your neighbor.
And that has been such a wonderful thing, because he, you know, ends up being this person who is spiritually open, and so I believe nothing happens by accident. It was true. His time to see something like that, and to see a person see something like that for the first time, like I was with my girlfriend when she saw her first craft, that look on your face and that feeling you get, it's just amazing.
There's nothing like it. That's for sure.
And the affirmation of having somebody else there so that you're not, you know, experiencing it without a camera. It's even better than the camera, because you have somebody else saying, "Yep, I'm watching that.
Right.
That's pretty cool, and I'm getting it all."
Man.
So, and that's the draw, CE5. You get that as a group together, and it just keeps on drawing you closer and closer.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't imagine doing this without the group now. So my neighbor and I go back into our rooms, and it's time to go to bed, and I head off to bed super excited about having my first real contact experience bear fruit. Well, I was taken again that very night, and I remember going up out through the window, and in.
Okay, wait. Let's. This is after you've seen the craft. You and your neighbor went, "Wow, that was cool," and you went to bed.
Yeah, we parted ways that night, and it was late. It was time to go to bed. I'm getting sucked out through the window. Like, there's a column of light. And I remember going up, but like you snapped your fingers again, I was in the backyard of the house I grew up in, and I was the one telling myself as a small boy that it's okay, this is going to be part of your life. I was the Nordic.
Oh my gosh!
So, as it were, in this event.
So you kind of went back to San Bernardino, it's you as a child, and you're the guy squaring up your shoulders.
Yes.
Okay, and going, "Everything's going to be all right." And now you're the one that has the message, so you know everything's going to be all right. That's two generations, everything being all right.
And the same person. So that was,
man,
a wow moment for me. I just met myself trippy. as a little boy, you know, and this is not more than a year ago, which of course prompted me to immediately find a CE5 group and continue this. So, like you snapped your fingers again, I'm going back through the window. I'm like in a supine position and getting kind of hovered back into the bed. I'm in a state of almost paralysis. I can just breathe, and that's about it. And know that this is not a dream, because everything is just, I can see everything in the room exactly as it is in any given day, where the alarm clock is, where the mirror is, how the bed is, and was laid back into bed, and there was a activation going on up and down my spinal column, where this just, I'd almost want to say a kundalini tidal force going through my body, and
sure.
I could do nothing but,
I love those.
Yeah, I can breathe, and the breathing seems to put the spurs to that feeling circulating around your heart, complete positive experience where all you can do is lay there and tears of joy are coming out of your eyes because you know mm-hmm. you're experiencing part of what the Creator has intended for all of us to experience. And I don't think this is just for certain people. This, what you call magic, is for everybody. This is our right as a human being to claim these wonderful things that are ours, that are powerful and absolutely, you know, it's God. It is extreme divinity, and it's absolutely amazing, pure love.
And let me kind of ask you this, too. This was an experience that you did not wake up from. This is, you didn't go back to sleep and wake up again. This is something that there was a continuity of consciousness and awake consciousness that you experienced well into the next day.
Absolutely. And I have had things happen in the dreamscape. I do practice things like lucid dreaming and out-of-body experiences. And so I know what that is like and what that is about. This was a conscious awake moment as opposed to sleep paralysis or lucid dreaming or your OBE, which are very fun, but this was not that.
Yeah, this is wide awake.
Yes.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And and so, and obviously that ignited your overall curiosity and gave you fresh motivation to get back with it.
Well, wow. I mean, there's nothing more that could show you just how vast the cosmos is, that there's this divine plan that we're a very, you know, we're a small being, we're an individual, but that individuality, it seems to be such an illusion to this 3D world we're living in. We're all connected in ways that so many people just haven't realized yet, that by our very consciousness, we're acting on the entire universe with a snap of the fingers. So, you know, it's beyond the speed of light
and
stuff.
It also gives you insight as to the preciousness of life itself. Life itself is the gift of this access to consciousness with an almighty creator, you know, call it God, infinite intelligence source, whatever you want. But once again, it's, you know, and I know you long enough and well enough to know that you are that way, that you value and you honor and are grateful for all the life.
Sure, it's just constant aha moments.
yeah, you got great energy and you know, Dr. Joseph Burks calls people like you, like Lou, and me, with early childhood experiences involving ET and HIV, primes. And what it's been like, we're blessed in the group that we have
mm-hmm.
to have a bunch of primes.
Sure, yeah, there's quite a few.
Holy cow. And I'm also of the suspicion that because there are so many primes, that we have such great luck with making contact. You know, when one of us is off, somebody's on, and we're always bringing in.
We always have steam.
Always have steam.
Well, oh boy, the things we see, it's, you know, it's mind-boggling. It's beautiful and amazing and very, very real.
It's muy bueno.
Yes.
And, okay, so here you are. You've been literally reawakened, okay? Not that you haven't carried it with you every day. I'm sure you have. But now, here you are, and all the senses are lit back up. And you also got the closing chapter of your childhood dream, or a continuing chapter, okay? So, you find our CE5 group, which was another divine appointment, and what I'm noticing, what Michael said too, is with primes and the people that we have, in this particular group, the thing that I cherish the most about my experiences out there at Area 52 is when we have that collective consciousness and we have this there's a real beautiful peace that just it touches each one of us, and it like makes this bond between us all, knowing that you're with like-minded and kind-hearted people. To find that many people in a group that you trust their souls and you trust their spirits implicitly is a very, very rare occurrence in life.
Yeah.
It's been rare so far in life, but the more this CE5 experience has grown with me, I see it all, everyone there as being my family. And now that I've gone with the flow of the universe rather than battled against it like I had my entire life, more of my soul family is availing itself at a very, very increased clip compared to any other part in my life. People coming out of the woodwork. I had one friend a couple weeks ago. She said she saw me in a dream and contacted me, and we've kind of reconnected on Facebook and found out we're very like-minded in terms of spirituality. And this is someone who we were, you know, in drama club together with in junior high.
The drama continues.
Oh, yeah. And everyone out there who's listening and watching tonight, they're probably in my best imagination family too. And yes, we're all having this journey together for a very important reason. So everyone listening is here because they're supposed to be.
Right. And one of the things that I've always believed in, even when it was unpopular, like I said, I used to be involved in some pretty straight-laced Christian activities. And they don't really like to go outside the normal parameters of what the Sunday school book says. But I've always believed in soul circles and soul groups. And just because, you know, it's that familiar feeling when you meet somebody and you just go, oh, you're okay.
I know
you're all right. Everything's fine. And those people show up in the most wonderful places and times in your life.
The timing's always perfect.
Yeah, there's always somebody there to help.
And so goes the Tao.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And this was really funny. This happened to me years ago, and all this conversation just brought this back. I was still in, this was after a major car crash that I had, and I had just started to drive on my own, and I was in one of those leg immobilizers, and I just got the ability to bend the knee, okay? And as I'm driving my car, I get a flat, okay? And this is 1991, okay? And we still changed our own flats back then, okay? So I'm on the side of the road. I'm in this leg immobilizer. And so I open up the trunk, and there's my spare, and I start pulling the stuff out. And right behind me pulls these two guys up in a car. The one guy has on an alien T-shirt with a bright green gray on his shirt.
Classic.
Right? And these guys go, hey, man, your leg. No. We'll do this. These guys popped my hubcap, changed my rim, put it back on the ground, tightened everything up like the Wood Brothers pit crew. I mean, they had me back on the road in like 4 minutes.
Nice.
And I said, hey, man, there's no way you could give us any money or nothing like that. And I remembered that. And it was literally like I wasn't even late for where I was going, even though that could have been, you know, trying to change a flat with a leg brace and all that other stuff could have been awful.
Oh, yeah.
I had a similar experience like that a couple of years ago. Where I am riding my bike, I used to ride my bike to work, and riding my bike around, it was a strange day. I'd done a meditation in the morning in downtown Tampa, where my place is, and I had a craft appear. You know, it was one of those things, a deep meditation. I was kind of whiny about it. I mean, I've been doing this for a while. Why can't we get this going here? And I had the craft appear a few short seconds. I was like, okay, now I can get my bike and ride to work, and on my way to work, I get hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Okay. Gosh. I get hit by a truck, and it launches me 20 feet into the middle of the highway, and none of the cars hit me, and the car that was that first stopped, as soon as I hit the ground, the guy was a paramedic.
Wow.
Yeah, and he got out of his car, stopped his car in the middle of traffic, got out, immobilized me. Somebody called and brought me to the hospital. And if that had not happened the way it happened, I might not be here today.
Wow.
So.
Whoa.
Everything for a reason.
And it all happens in perfect timing. And I learned a lot from the experience. There's, many evolutions happen because of the suffering that I went through. But it was necessary, unfortunately, and I came out, I think, a better human being.
I remember you were banged up pretty good there. You were down for several weeks.
Yeah, that was not fun.
But, no.
But once again, you know, everything happens in perfect time when you let it happen.
Sure.
and not force or try to control it.
All these tribulations we go through, it really, after you wake up to it, makes you not call things good or bad anymore. It's hard to label it. It's
right.
Definitely for a reason, and we can celebrate it when it's wonderful, but I don't label the things that I used to struggle against and say were terrible and bad like I used to. They were a process, and it had to happen for me to grow and evolve, and I'm almost embarrassed it took such a butt-kicking for me to grow and evolve, because at times it was, and I cursed it at the time, but now I absolutely do not. I understand.
Yeah, well, you don't understand, and that's what frustrates you,
sure.
And that's what makes you angry. I have a little life lesson. The first time I ever went to ride a jet ski, the sit-down kind, and...
Some of us just remember the stand-up.
Well, I remember the stand-up kind. I could never master those. So I said, oh, the sit-down kind. I could probably do that one. And what it was a rental, and I kept trying to steer it. I kept trying to go just to control everything about it. And I would give it some gas and I'd turn it and it would go, and the guy, you know, the rental guy was going, man, maybe you got a broken steering cable or something. And he's popping the hood up. And
no,
I'm just sitting there dumb, you know, oh. And what it was is I was controlling it too hard. I needed to give it a little gas and let it kind of take itself and then gently steer it. So, as a guy that rode motorcycles his whole life, I was extraordinarily frustrated. So, anyway, what it is I learned to hold on loosely, but not let go. So, it's like 38 Special was always right. But, ladies and gentlemen, man, this was a fast hour. Poor Pete's over there in tech hell. So... And we've been interviewing Derek Reichardt. Buddy, you're welcome back anytime. We just scratched the surface with you, man.
Yeah, there's a lot.
you got a lot of stuff to cover. Michael,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And
of course, I don't take that for granted.
Thank and you. The next CE5 is December 9th.
Yeah, 8th or 9th. Saturday, December.
Saturday.
It's the
8th.
Yeah.
Saturday the 8th. And if you want to find out more about it, you can, of course, buy the handbook from Celia Hatch at ACE5handbook.com. Or if you go to disabilityattorney.net and email Michael, he will send you the protocols of our group.
Or just ask the guy that pops down on the website to take your information. I'll be happy to send you the protocol that we use. If you want to join the group, it's Tampa CE5, Ambassadors to the Universe. You can get us on Meetup. We don't have a Facebook page. Maybe someday, who knows. But right now, if you're local in the Tampa area or the Florida area, contact me. You can write me directly at wallmountain1@gmail.com. If you want. So, contact me. We're all here as a group trying to make the world better and make contact happen and change things for the better.
It'll make you happy, man. It'll make you happy as a Frisbee dog in a Jeep on the way to the beach. So, thanks, everybody. Pete, have a great week. And I do appreciate your efforts, man. I know what a perfectionist you are, and you want it to be great. And it will be. So... Amanda, thank you so much for coming in. And Derek, anytime, brother.
Thank
anytime.
You so much. I'd be
all right.
Be
this is the first of many events. So I'm Lou Angel Wolf saying goodnight. IMHO.love. Share this with your friends, like it, phase it in, whatever else you do. Like it, touch it, nudge it.
Get it out there.
Wink on it.
Oh, yeah.
Bump
hey,
it.
Subscribe and like
subscribe.
At the YouTube channel.
I'm so bad at that.
IMHO.love. Go to the YouTube channel, subscribe, like the programs you like. The ones you don't like, okay, but go
like this one.
Go there and do it.
Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
That was fun.
That is fun.
It goes too quickly.
Which
is
just really quick.
Just proof that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, that flew. Oh.
full of cats.
Oh yeah, and all we got was we got one topic though, but yeah. it's what people wanted to hear.
Sure,
you know that's the shiny.
That's
one.
The meat of it. Yeah,
and we can lead with that for all the other stuff.
Sure.
Now we remember we had Derek on a few weeks ago, and he told us about that, and some of these. Our last one, 750 views.
Wow.
You know. Oh, we're still on here. Hey, everybody, hold on.
Oops.
Hi, Facebook people. We love you a lot. Thank you so much. There's Marie. There's Pam. All right, look at all these lovely people.
Oh, wow.
And that's now. And Tim Gibson was there. And my sister, Michelle. Kevin Briggs.
Hi, Kevin.
Randy Fritz. Bob Livesey. Thanks, everybody. Well, maybe.
The jaws of death.
Oh. Well. Got her done.
By hook or crook.
Oh, man. I got a text from Rosemary before.
Thank you for being
Mike. I'm reading the taco.
Like, oh, what to say?
I need a taco.